everybody. Welcome back to North Idaho Now. This is episode 131. Not to be confused with 151.
No, we are not drunk on rum in this episode.
Not in this one anyway.
20 episodes later? Well,
ooh,
we'll
there
see.
You go. Yeah. I think that's by law. You have to do that.
Right? I think you're right. Yeah, yeah. I think that is a law. The podcast law of 151 rum.
Yep, absolutely.
If
obviously.
You make it to 151 episodes of podcast,
the
then...
The FDA wrote that rule.
I think they did. They actually send you a free bottle of rum. It's kind of cool.
The FCC
won't let me be, but they bought me rum. All
right. We are really crossing genres right now. This is Chance Watson and Molly in the big comfy couch.
Hello, yes. Molly the doll.
Molly Roberts coming at you with the
Hello.
News. This episode is brought to you by Bank CDA. What is your relationship status with your bank? It's time to go steady with Bank CDA. You want local, you want flexible, you want Bank CDA. To learn more, please visit bankcda.com. This episode is also brought to you by Jim Addis for District 4 State Representative. Jim Addis is running for re-election as your state representative in District 4, Seat A. He, his wife, and their entire family are longtime residents of Coeur d'Alene. They helped build a business here, raise their daughter Kendra here, and love being involved in the local community. Addis grew up in a logging town of 1,500 people here in the Northwest. After receiving his associates in small business management at Spokane Falls Community College, he attended Washington State University, where he earned bachelor's degrees in economics and business management. After graduation, he spent 2 years with the Beatrice Corporation, a large U.S.-based conglomerate. He then took an upper management position with the largest OEM ductile iron foundry west of the Mississippi, Gregg Industries. In 1998, he returned to join Tom Addis Lake City Ford Lincoln and Tom Addis Dodge and continued to work in our local community until the business is sold in 2016. After a long business career, a door opened for him to continue serving the community, this time at the state capitol. Addis believes the District 4A seat is a very important one. Kootenai County is growing rapidly and is the third most populous county in Idaho. How it handles growth is very important to the quality of life. Experience counts. Addis is a qualified incumbent and common sense thinker who looks at each issue individually for the proper solution. The key to Idaho's future lies in a strong economy, supported by excellence in all forms of education, and a business climate that encourages and supports the opportunity for growth and prosperity for all, the opportunity for our children to succeed, and to build a life here in Idaho. To continue this effort, Addis asks for your support in the upcoming Republican primary on May 17th. This ad was paid for by the committee to re-elect Jim Addis. Molly.
Hey.
Hi. What's going on, Molly?
Oh, boy. We're struggling a little bit today, you guys. I don't know. I have my three drinks. We did our whole routine.
Whole routine going into it.
And, but, you know, that's all right. We're here. We're happy to be here.
You know what? Not every day is a winner. And you come in, and
oh,
sometimes
boy.
You just gotta wing it.
Sometimes, yeah, I'm sorry to say, but I am not always on my A game. Not always.
I remember, okay, going back, thinking back to school,
mm-hmm.
the best time I ever just winged it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was in speech class at NIC, and this was a dual credit class.
Yeah.
And we had to go, part of the speech class, obviously, you got to go up in front of everybody and you got to present something. Well, I had to create a product to sell to people. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I just made up something literally like 2 hours beforehand.
Yeah.
And just winged it. Totally winged it. It totally looked like I knew what I was doing. But
right.
Yeah,
right.
Absolutely. Totally knocked it out of the park. But
sometimes you just got to wing it. I mean... I feel like there's probably a good amount of speech classes that I also
winged.
Yeah.
That's kind of the point of school, though, right? Like,
kind of learning about what your strengths are, what you can kind of get away with, and
get away with is definitely the number
what
of times
what you can perhaps procrastinate.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Writing your senior thesis the day before.
Okay. Okay, here's something.
Yeah.
And especially as someone that worked in education, for me as a human, when people tell me there is no way that you can write this paper the night before and get an A,
sounds like a challenge.
Yes! That's how I take it. I take it as like, oh, really? And I know that's probably not a good, But I do. I take it as a, oh, really? Let me show you that I can do this because I know that I can and I did it many times.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And so
some people work best under pressure.
Some people do. And maybe that's part of it. Maybe I need sort of that almost defiance to fuel me. Oh, yeah?
Just working out of bitterness?
Exactly.
I like that.
Like, oh, you don't think I can do this, huh?
That's a lot of motivation for a lot of people.
And it kind of is.
And you know what? True. I appreciate it. That's why you get up in the morning, you know?
Bitterness. You know what's kind of sad, actually, what? Is the name Molly derives from the name Mary, which means bitter.
Does it really?
It really does.
I had no idea.
Molly technically means bitter, which is kind of unfortunate.
You are the opposite of bitter.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I try not to be bitter. I really do try not to be bitter.
I don't think you can be bitter. It's not...
I've been in a bit of a negative headspace today, but even that, I haven't necessarily gotten bitter, I feel like,
sure.
Maybe.
Haven't
I just kind of
territory.
No, I just kind of, I don't know. I think everyone in the world, I think, is a little overwhelmed right now. There's a lot going on.
A lot to worry about for some reason.
A lot to worry about, and we're still kind of dealing with the effects of COVID-19, I feel like. Mm-hmm. Like, we're all just kind of almost in this spot of, it does seem like things might be going back to quote-unquote normal,
sure.
Whatever that means.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I don't know. Take care of yourselves,
yeah,
that's what I gotta say.
That's what you should. Speaking of taking care of yourself, didn't you go see a movie recently?
I did. I went to see Doctor Strange.
Oh.
On Sunday, I realized as I woke up that morning, I had the thought immediately about when I woke up of, if I drive to Coeur d'Alene right now, I can go see Doctor Strange before Mother's Day dinner.
Mm.
And I did.
And?
And oh my, I was a fan. I was a big fan.
Okay.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
There are, of course, always going to be like a couple things that I won't talk about. We're not going to spoil it
no
for
spoilers.
You, especially because Chance has not had the opportunity to see it yet. He will soon,
yeah,
I'm sure.
I'm actually really bad about the Marvel movies. I haven't even seen the first one.
You'll like this one.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll get on the bandwagon. I am very familiar though with Benedict Cumberbatch's work.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that is a fantastic actor.
Oh, Sherlock? Sherlock's one of my favorites. Did you ever watch that?
Oh, I love Sherlock so much.
It's so good.
It's such a good show.
It's probably one of my favorites.
It is.
One that you can go back and rewatch, I feel like, that it's just, the acting's good, the mysteries are great, mm-hmm. The villain.
They did a very good job of, okay, so for a character that has been redone
yes.
to death.
Oh, 100%,
like,
yeah.
Sherlock, the fictional character of Sherlock Holmes
mm-hmm.
has, like, it's right up there, it's probably right up there with, like, retellings of, like, Romeo and Juliet.
Yes.
Like, the number of times, I remember,
true.
Okay, this might be core memory unlocked kind of thing. There was a animated show about Sherlock Holmes being, like, brought back in, like, the 22nd century.
Oh.
It was like a future, like Sherlock Holmes, like the 18th century Sherlock.
Uh-huh. But he was like,
or 19th century Sherlock, yeah. But he was like cryonically frozen or something and then brought back and unthought. Yeah, look this up.
Animated.
I think it honestly might be called like Sherlock in the 22nd century or something like that. Something along those lines.
Sherlock Holmes in the 22nd century.
There it is. And I think the theme song was equally less clever. I think it was Sherlock Holmes in the 22nd century.
That sounds about
I think that was
right.
about it, yeah. I remember watching this animated show.
Wow.
But Sherlock has been redone. I mean, we're talking about Robert
over
Downey
and
Jr.
Over
movies.
And over, right.
And
oh, yeah.
Then there's the modern one where he's in New York with Lucy Liu.
Yes.
And I mean, these are just the ones I can remember off the top of my head.
Exactly.
You know,
yeah.
Like the character Sherlock Holmes has been retold time and time again,
yes.
Probably as much as Batman and everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
But for a retelling of this, they did a good job.
They did do a very good job.
Yeah. That was a great show. And Benedict Cumberbatch is a fantastic actor. That was kind of his breakout role.
It kind of was. That is kind of what put him on the map.
I loved him in everything except Star Trek, but that's not his fault.
Oh, yeah. That wasn't his
fault. Yeah, let's get into the new movies. Let's not.
I feel like I had something that I was going to.
I want to curse J.J. Abrams.
Sure, let's do that. Let's curse J.J. Abrams.
I want to put a hex
fine.
On him or something,
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, let's hex J.J. Abrams.
If I had like a pin dish, like a voodoo doll,
to, yeah, exactly.
Yep.
We'll get on it. Watch out, J.J. Abrams.
He really,
we're coming for ya.
He really did my Star Trek movies dirty, and that upsets me greatly.
Oh, what I was going to, that's what I was going to ask. My first thought, and I feel like this was my introduction to most sort of books, famous stories, was the show Wishbone. Did you ever watch Wishbone?
Boy, that really rings a bell.
What's the story, Wishbone? So it was the little dog, and he...
Yes.
Oh, this was my favorite show.
I remember this.
And I still have, I mean, yeah, I remember him in the little Sherlock Holmes hat. There are so many stories, like the Odyssey, Sherlock Holmes, all of these stories that I had kind of the foundation for because of Wishbone.
Boy, and all those obscure childhood shows are flowing back. For some reason, I just thought of Tintin.
Oh, uh-huh.
Watched a lot of Tintin.
A lot of Tintin. Mm-hmm. Probably
obscure 90s child shows.
Mm-hmm.
Wishbone was good, though.
Wishbone was amazing. And any kind of PBS show, I was a PBS kid.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I watched some PBS.
And part of that was because in Southern Idaho, I think you had to pay for cable or something. My parents didn't want to pay for cable, so we just had
I had the bunny ears. Yeah.
Right, the bunny ears. So definitely. We had like 10 channels, and one of them was PBS.
None of them were in a row. You went from like 2 to
exactly,
4 to 6.
Right, to like two, a, just three, a static four, six, one that you're like, what?
16, wait, 28, yeah.
Am I going to be in the movie Poltergeist with this channel?
You don't see the salt and pepper screens much anymore, do you?
You don't. You the ant races. That's what we would always
ant races,
call them.
Okay.
Oh, this is the Ant Race channel.
I always said it was like that feeling you get when you sit on like your foot for too long.
Right. The yes. Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's it in a feeling.
That's it.
Though.
That is it in a feeling.
Mm-hmm. The other thing that I genuinely think that they created the theme song to like the FBI, like subliminal messaging or something like that. Mm-hmm. Zaboomafu.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Zaboom.
Zaboomafu.
And you and Zaboomafu.
Well, I was kind of so my sisters are about
catchy.
They are catchy. Yeah, my sisters are about 4 and 5 years younger than me, and so I feel like I also kind of got, because Zaboomafu is more around, I feel like, their age.
Okay.
But I still know kind of, you know, because they were watching it.
Sure. No, there are those ones that definitely have catchy beginnings.
DuckTales, woo! What's another good one? Oh, Darkwing Duck!
Yes, Darkwing Duck, Rescue Rangers, obviously.
All of those, they did have such good songs.
Did Arthur have an intro song?
Yes, he did. Every day when you're walking down the street.
Why do I not remember this? I loved Arthur.
I feel like I've asked you this before if you watched the musical episode.
Of Arthur?
Of Arthur,
no,
yeah.
No, I definitely have not.
Oh, my God.
And I used to, I watched the early seasons, that was right when I was growing up.
Right.
So that, made total sense.
I feel like I had quite a few Arthur birthday
Even
parties.
Barney, to a degree, I was still very much.
Yes, there was definitely,
is Barney,
you know,
still
on?
Is that still a thing?
That's a good question. Barney, growing up, my imaginary friends were all the kids from Barney.
Barney
and anytime
and
I did something bad.
Barney has a 3.8 out of 10 on IMDb.
Okay, guys. All right. That's too much. You guys. 3.8 out of 10.
It's not great, but come on. I feel like you guys are being really harsh now.
I do kind of, I feel like, have a visceral reaction now, though, to seeing Barney's face.
Really?
There's something about that I was like, oh, no, those lifeless eyes do make me a bit uncomfortable. Sorry, Barney. I like this one. He's got a little picture of him in sunglasses. That makes me feel a little better. But,
okay, that is a little bit better. But yeah, that might be
just the animatronic sort of or like.
Oh, so you didn't like Thomas the Tank Engine? The trains.
I wasn't ever really a Thomas the Tank Engine fan.
What?
No,
I was all about Thomas the Tank Engine.
Yeah, I wasn't quite a.
I was all about
I was
it.
Definitely Pokemon.
Huge
Pokemon fan. Boy Meets World. That was a big one that I really liked. I remember getting up very early before school. Well, very early, which I mean was probably like 7. Mm-hmm. Watching Pokemon, watching Boy Meets World every day before school.
Okay. That's Boy Meets World. Solid. I actually used to watch. Okay, the last one. The animated Sabrina, Teenage Witch.
Ooh.
Not the live action with what's her face?
Animated, yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, the animated one. I watched that a lot. I think it was just literally, it was literally.
That was good.
It was literally the thing that was on 10 to 20 minutes before my bus stop.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I would just flip. It was the first thing on. I would watch that and going through middle school and whatnot. Then it, you know.
Gosh, I think I had a computer game that was of the animated series.
Oh, we could talk about classic kids games.
Right?
I played a lot of Spy Fox.
Spy Fox. I feel like a lot of my games were kind of educational.
These were educational.
They were
disguised reading games kind of thing.
Yes. Yeah. Oh yeah. That was definitely.
Yep.
Yes, Sabrina's Magical Adventures. It was a computer game. However, a lot of my computer games when I moved up from Southern Idaho were in a wooden trailer. And unfortunately, on the way up, the wooden trailer burned.
Oh, no.
So I have a very burnt copy of this game that I have tried to make work in a computer, and it did not.
Say that those games are on fire.
Those games are on fire!
Okay, I think we've rambled enough.
I think so. You know what, you guys?
They can't all be winners,
they
you know?
Can't all be winners. And,
you know, and
we
honestly.
Know you guys just like to listen to our voices. It's like ASMR. It just relaxes you. So it doesn't matter what we're talking about.
Just sit here and just. What was that, guys? What do you think that was? That was me hitting a water bottle. I think I found our new trade, Molly. Just in case this doesn't work out.
We are now an ASMR podcast.
That was a straw in a coffee cup.
Yes. Yeah. So if you guys like the ASMR direction we're going, leave a comment.
Right. And if you don't like any of our babble at the beginning of the show, we leave show notes. In the show description,
you know
if you just go to the podcast show, you can scroll down. We have the time index. And you can just skip through all this. Go right to the news.
You can.
Yep. Absolutely.
I wouldn't recommend it, but...
Well, sure. Well, I also wouldn't blame you either.
I wouldn't really blame you. No.
Like, on one hand, I appreciate everybody who likes to listen to us ramble, but on the other hand, I don't blame you at all.
Understand.
No hard feelings whatsoever.
Well, none. Maybe some.
Maybe a little bit.
Maybe a little bit. I might weep.
If you listen to the rest of the show, then it's fine. Hecla Mining Company is a leading low-cost silver producer with operating silver mines in Alaska, Idaho, and Mexico, and is a growing gold producer with operating mines in Quebec, Canada, and Nevada. They are the largest primary silver producer in the U.S., responsible for one-third of the silver produced in our nation. Their philosophy is to operate mines safely by promoting a deeply rooted value-based culture, leveraging mining skills built over the company's long history, and by innovating new practices. To learn more about Hecla Mining Company, please visit heclamining.com. I know they are also still hiring, as are most people.
As are the majority of businesses.
That's very accurate. All right, let's move into Coraline Postwell's Press headlines. And folks, we have some pretty juicy headlines today.
Yes, we do.
I guess it wouldn't be a conclusion because I'm sure this isn't the
last
time.
Oh, it's not the last.
We're going to kick all this up again here in a little while. Headline for Saturday, May 7th, NIC gets new trustees. This is by Kay Thornbrew. After a spat of resignations and an unsuccessful lawsuit that sought to block the appointment of new members, the North Idaho College Board of Trustees is back in business. The State Board of Education voted unanimously on Friday to appoint David Wold, John Geode? Is that how you would say that? Goody? All right, we'll go with Goody, but I like Geode better. John Goody and Pete Brachette to the NIC board effective immediately. The new trustees will serve through the November election and the end of the year. The now functioning board is likely to appoint a permanent president for the college, one of the actions recommended by the Northwest Commission on Colleges and Universities, NIC's accrediting organization. The NWCCU sanctioned NIC with a warning in April, citing persistent issues specifically related to the Board of Trustees. Presidential candidates are expected to visit the Coeur d'Alene campus for interviews next month. NIC's board was deadlocked in a 2-2 vote after Michael Barnes resigned in January amid questions about his residency. listing in the state that doesn't exist.
That doesn't exist. Yeah. All right.
North Dakota. Okay.
That's hilarious.
Sure. Yeah. Mine's in Shangri-La. The four remaining trustees were unable to agree on a candidate to replace him. The departure of longtime trustees Christy Wood and Ken Howard last week left the board unable to function without a quorum, with only Todd Banducci and Greg McKenzie still in office. Banducci did not respond to a request for comment. In a May 4th post on Facebook, he called the candidates illegitimate.
Oh, boy.
Stop the count. McKenzie said Friday, he believes that state board's appointments are part of a, quote, disturbing trend by Idaho Governor Brad Little to, quote, squash the local control and move all power to Boise. Quote, this anti-democratic move may or may not be allowed under one judge's interpretation, but it flies in the face of local control, McKenzie told the press in an email. State Board President Kurt Liebich emphasized during Friday's meeting that the state stepped in only because Idaho law required it to.
Yes.
Quote, the right place for decisions to be made is closest to the institution or the district, he said. We're firm believers in local control. We hold that in high regard. This appears to be the first time the state board has to fill the ranks of a college board, Liebich said. Last week, a judge rejected an attempt by McKenzie and Banducci to block the state board from appointing more than one new trustee. They dropped the lawsuit after First District Judge Cynthia Meyer denied their request for a temporary restraining order against the state board. Meyer said Idaho law empowers the state board to fill all vacancies on a board of trustees, not just the number needed to constitute a majority. Quote, it's not a difficult interpretation of the statutory language, she said in court. House passed legislation that would have changed the statute died in a Senate committee in March. House Bill 783 would have allowed the state board to fill only enough vacancies to restore a majority, in NIC's case, just one. The bill would have also restricted voters in districts with more than 250,000 residents to only voting on the trustees from their geographic zone. NIC's new trustees were selected from among 37 candidates. Wold is a retired ophthalmologist who has served on the North Idaho College Foundation board for 15 years. Godey served for a decade as the Senate Education... What was it again? What were we saying? Godey?
Godey, yeah.
Godey served for a decade as the Senate Education Committee Chairman. He's a former NIC Foundation board member. Brachette is the Human Resources Director for Empire Airlines. The three newly filled trustee positions will be on the ballot in November. So that's what I don't understand about this claim that they're like getting rid of, that it's anti-democratic. Like, this is a temporary filling.
It's a temporary filling because
these aren't permanent appointments, right?
Exactly.
These aren't permanent appointments. No. And the fact that, and why would they only elect one when there's three open positions?
Three open positions. Yeah, and exactly.
Even if that wasn't with the rules, it makes sense to have five positions on there. And but it's all going up to election anyway.
Yeah.
So I just don't.
I don't. I
to me it
don't.
Screams of like desperation to try to. Control the
to
board.
To try and gain control.
To control, to keep control of the
keep
board.
Keep control because they want to do what they want to do.
Right. Which, from a political standpoint, is understandable,
is
I suppose.
Understandable,
it's a tactic,
sure.
For sure.
Sure.
But at the end of the day, like, you can't just make up your own rules to stop it. So,
no. And that's the... Yeah. This isn't like a new thing.
Sure.
It's not like Governor Brad Little was like, well, you know what?
I'm just gonna
take control of the situation. No.
And reading these people, like these are two people that are from, like, have North Idaho College experience.
Mm-hmm.
Two of the three. I don't know about Brachette with Empire.
Right.
I am not even familiar with Empire Airlines.
Mm-hmm.
But these people are not like talking about Boise. Like, okay.
No.
Again, always trying to look at two things, like, as a North Idaho boy,
mm-hmm.
like, it is frustrating sometimes where North Idaho is kind of left out since,
sure.
You know, a lot of the political sphere hovers around Boise. And sometimes it's very easy for it to seem like, you know, what's good for Boise is good for Idaho kind of thing.
Right.
And that's not accurate. You know,
mm-hmm.
like it's nice for North Idaho folks to feel that there's actually some representation
yes.
down south. So I understand that. But like saying that. This is, oh, they're trying to control, just Boise's
no,
trying to stick its nose in it. These
I
two people
think
are,
that's true.
These
I
two
mean,
people are North Idaho people.
Yeah, exactly.
So I don't know. I don't buy it. But now that, again, the only thing that I will step back on is I don't know any of these people.
I was, right.
I literally don't know any of these people.
Mm-hmm.
So who knows? Like, Banducci and them, they don't even know. These people could side with them. Who knows?
That's true.
I don't know them well enough to, yeah,
to know what exactly. But yeah, I have the no three idea. Seats are filled.
There you go. And we'll for next. And then we'll figure that out in
November.
Yep.
So
there you go.
All right. Moving on to Sunday, the Coeur d'Alene Rotary marks 100 years of service. Talking about those Rotarians.
This is my Maureen Dolan.
By Maureen Dolan.
Is this the first, I think, one that we've read on the podcast with Maureen's byline on it?
I believe so.
Uh-huh.
Rotarians partied like it was 1922, Saturday night at the Coeur d'Alene Resort. It was a celebration of the Coeur d'Alene Rotary Club's century of service, attended by roughly 200 people, many dressed in attire reminiscent of the Roaring Twenties. Quote, "We tried to replicate the period of 100 years ago," said Sue Thilo, Coeur d'Alene Rotary Foundation president and event chair. Coeur d'Alene Rotary was officially chartered on January 1, 1922. Over the last century, club members have volunteered their talents and time to a multitude of service efforts, from funding essential programs in the local community to roadside cleanups and supporting projects around the globe. Through their own contributions alone, current Coeur d'Alene Rotary members have contributed $580,000 to support these efforts. Rotary International dignitaries sent video greetings to Coeur d'Alene Rotary members at Saturday's event. Vicky Poulis, Rotary International Director for Zones 26 and 27, said the first service project of the Coeur d'Alene Rotary Club was the purchase of land for fields at Coeur d'Alene High School, which was on 7th Street in 1922. Quote, "Now, $4,000 was certainly a significant amount to donate, the equivalent of about $60,000 today. Rotary Centennial Park is a beautiful bookend to your 100 years of service in the community, a lasting benefit to the community, and a lasting tribute to your club. The park is a new pocket park developed at 316 Sherman Avenue with a water feature and a small stage for performances." In another recorded greeting, Jennifer Jones, Rotary International President-elect, congratulated local club members for achieving the significant 100-year milestone. Quote, "When an organization like ours dreams of big things like ending polio and creating peace, it becomes our responsibility to bring those things to life. I would like us to imagine a world that deserves our best, where we can get up each day knowing that we can make a difference." With a Prohibition-style theme, the centennial celebration included a speakeasy for attendees to enter if they had the password. The evening was reflective of the fellowship, fun, and service that was a central purpose of the first Rotary Club founded in Chicago in 1905. There are approximately 1.4 million Rotarians, members of more than 29,000 Rotary Clubs in 161 countries.
Means they have influence on 161 governments.
That's right. That's right.
Because they, along with the Illuminati, are just running everything with charitable functions.
Yeah. It's really too bad. It's
damn Rotarians going around being nice to people.
Trying to end polio, creating peace. Oh, yuck. Yeah. I can't get behind that. What?
You know, what did polio do to anybody?
Yeah, oh, we're gonna end, oh, cancel culture.
Right.
You canceled polio, Rotarians.
Oh. FDR is like, guys, come on. Seriously, it's not funny. Knock it off. Sorry, for those, everybody who's very upset about an FDR polio joke, I guess that might be too soon. Sorry.
That was too soon. You know what?
Too soon. Too soon, Chance. Can't joke about FDR.
No, too soon.
It's only been 90 years. So
too soon. You have to wait 80, 90 at years. Least 100.
Yeah, at least 100 years. Especially nowadays. If you're looking for a refreshing locally made beer, check out Ready Brewing at 319 Main Street in Uptown Kellogg. The taproom is open 7 days a week. They offer delicious craft beer and awesome snack and food options. To learn more, visit RadioBrewingCompany.com. Radio Brewing, put radio in your mouth hole. Molly, didn't you do something fun with them over the weekend?
I did. There was a fun little soapbox derby.
You don't hear about soapbox derbies much anymore.
You know what? You don't. And this was pretty fun. It was very exciting. I did not build my own soapbox, which I was more than okay with. It wasn't the fastest, which again, I was okay with. My dad and I at the beginning, this will give you a good idea of what my dad and I are like. We made the decision at the beginning that we did not care about winning. I was like, no, we don't care. We're just here to have fun and show off my costume.
Sure.
So yeah, we were a little bit bummed that we didn't win best in show. So there are certain things that we do care about winning.
Well, Molly, if you're not first, you're last.
Right, sure. I don't really always go with that mentality.
That's fair. Yeah. All right. I'll get off my soapbox.
Oh boy. Oh,
we have fun here.
We have fun here, ladies and gentlemen.
We have so much fun here.
Our brains are just slowly losing cells.
I'm gonna start reading real fast. Moving to headlines from Monday, May 9th. Headline: Hot Shots. This is by Devin Weeks. Shooting sports are all about firepower and the boom of guns. They're about marksmanship, mentorship, and family tradition. Quote, my uncle did it, and I started doing it with him, Lakeland High School sophomore Christian Davis said Saturday. I decided I wanted to do it. I was decent at it, so I kept doing it. Taylor Izzard, a Coeur d'Alene High School junior, has been shooting since eighth grade. Quote, right here is a Browning Gold Evolve Sporting Clay semi-auto, best gun ever, Izzard said. My grandfather actually took this to Worlds in England. He was a light Olympic shooter. He put so many rounds through it, and I'm continuing to do it. Davis and Izzard were two of the 120 students from across the Gem State who participated in the Idaho State Youth Shooting Sports Championship held Friday and Saturday at the Coeur d'Alene Skeet and Trap Club in Hayden. The spirit of camaraderie and competition were not dampened by the rain that intermittently poured on the young trap shooters as they yelled, pull, and aimed for fluorescent orange clay pigeons that sailed through the air. Okay, there are some sports that weather means nothing, but can you imagine shooting clays in the rain?
In the rain?
That just sounds not fun. Mm-mm. The participants were scored on hitting or missing the target. Timberlake High School junior Jared Marinko of Hayden Longshot's team shot trap while his dad, Vaughn Marinko, watched from the fence. Quote, it's an amazing program, Vaughn said. It gives these kids real good, clean competition. It's a sports team sport, and it's an individual sport. It keeps them busy. It consumes their time. They'll practice all the time. They're not on the streets. They're not writing graffiti. They're doing something they love, just like any other sport. Jared, who has been shooting since the age of 12, said he felt pretty good after a 92% round. Quote, you can just go outside and shoot things. It's pretty cool, he said. I couldn't agree with you more. I really like the sport. It gets me out of the house, and it's something I really have fun with. Club spokesman Tob Bensko? Bosenko said safety is always number one. Quote, of course, just like any other sport, this builds on sportsmanship, teamwork, and responsibility, he said. He also added that youth shooting sports are among the fastest growing in the nation. Shooting sports teach youth hand-eye coordination and reaction time, Bosenko said, as well as earn scholarships for dedicated students. Quote, it's just been very popular, and it's great that it is, he said. The top shooters earned awards and bragging rights at the close of the competition. The shoot was sponsored by USA Youth Education in Sports Shooting. My nephew actually was in this competition over the weekend.
Nice.
I hence why I heard it was pretty rainy and windy and just not the most pleasant circumstances to be.
Right.
Yeah. I actually picked up a new firearm myself.
I was gonna say.
I got a shout out to my dad. This was a very nice early birthday present from him. I've been in love with those who are firearms enthusiasts or history enthusiasts growing up. It modeled after the M1 Grand, the old World War II U.S. rifle. I got the M1A, the newer one, and it shoots like a dream. I love it. It's nice. Something that I've wanted for a long time. So
awesome.
Pretty excited about that. I could maybe post a photo to that to the Facebook. I took it out for the first time over the weekend.
Right.
That's where that came from.
Good.
What else we got?
Alrighty, firefighters to train an old black sheep building. The Coeur d'Alene Fire Department will be conducting training exercises in the old black sheep building before it's demolished to make way for a Costco parking lot. That actually made me a little bit excited because we do need more parking in that Costco parking lot. I hate the Costco parking lot.
It is crazy to me that, like I get it. Like, they do need more parking, 100%. It is crazy to me, though, that, like, you know, Costco, like, they have bean counters. They have people who run the numbers. And they have calculated that it will make them more money to demolish this basically brand new building.
Right.
I mean, and not brand new, but I mean, it's a newer building.
It's newer. Right.
To demolish it just for parking.
Just for parking.
It'll that's make true. Them more money than actually, like, use the building or lease it or sell it or something like that. It's, yeah. That's crazy. That is crazy. That's crazy to me.
Training started Tuesday, so today, continues through May 22nd. The building just off Government Way and north of Nieder Avenue is scheduled to be torn down May 23rd, according to a press release. Quote, training in this building and a building this large is a rare occurrence, and we are fortunate enough to have built relationships throughout the community in order to be given this opportunity, said Deputy Chief Bill DeRuiter.
DeRuiter, yeah. Good job.
Costco bought the building last year from Black Sheep's owners, David and Barbara Knoll, who moved their store to the Silver Lake Mall, which they purchased. In the coming weeks, the public may see fire engines parked in front of the building and fire crews placing ladders to the roof. People are asked to keep their distance.
Just a little PSA, people.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it.
It's all good. It's part of the plan.
Mm-hmm. Part of the plan.
Be cool if they burned it down.
Ooh, I'd be okay with that. Cool.
That would definitely satiate the inner pyro in me.
Mm-hmm.
I've gotten a lot better with age, but man, when I was a kid,
oh boy,
I was
a little pyro.
Yeah, oh, I was a bit
lighting
of a pyro.
It all on
Fourth of July was definitely.
Oh, yeah.
This sounds so fun. So, like, you know the little tank fireworks that you light from the back and then you shoot out the front. I would do little tank wars where I'd put you point them both
put
at
them
each
together,
other,
yeah,
and you light them at the same time and they would fire and you could, like, name a winner.
Right.
I was all about that. fun diversion there.
Mm-hmm.
Molly, what's your favorite firework?
Ooh, favorite firework? Ooh, oh my gosh.
The seizure-inducing ones?
Right, yeah. I don't, you know, so every year my dad puts on a safe and sane fireworks
show. If you say sparklers.
No, not sparklers. I got injured.
Molly!
Everyone, I got injured by a sparkler this past 4th of July.
You did?
Quote unquote injured.
Gotcha, sure.
It burned my sock. My mom's friend was like waving her sparkler around and one of the sparks came off and burned one of my Hulk socks.
Mm.
But favorite, absolute favorite. Gosh, I mean, I like the bigger ones. I don't.
Like the festival balls that go up in the air and explode. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to hold on to my fireworks stories for closer to 4th of July.
That's a good idea.
Man, I have a scar above my eye.
Right. Yes.
The Broken Wheel Restaurant in Kellogg, Idaho is now open and ready to serve you breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Offering only certified Angus beef, come in and sink your teeth into a mouth-watering steak or burger. Special events include mystery darts on Fridays at 7:30 p.m., karaoke at 9 p.m. on Saturdays, and free kids' meals on Tuesdays. Open Thursday through Saturday from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday through Wednesday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Visit the Broken Wheel Restaurant today at 102 East Cameron Avenue in Kellogg. Ticks in two. Tuesday, May 10th. Headlines. Headline, voters concerned about church polling places. Interesting. Mm-hmm. This is by Kay Thornbrew. Almost half of Kootenai County voters who cast ballots in person on May 17th will do so at a church. Kootenai County Clerk Jim Brannon said that there are practical reasons for this, though some local leaders and voters have expressed concerns about specific polling places. Quote, when COVID hit, our polling places had major changes, Brannon said. In 2020, some sites used for years were no longer suitable due to occupancy limits. The county also gained three precincts this year, so election officials had to look for new sites. Polling places must meet certain requirements, which immediately limits how many facilities are suitable, Brannon said. For example, polling places must be accessible to disabled voters, in compliance with the Americans with Disabilities Act. Hard to do nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
Quote, we need to have ramps and doorways wide enough for wheelchairs, Brennan said. Those are key for us when we're looking for a polling place. The facility also needs plenty of space for voters and poll workers alike, as well as a bathroom for poll workers. Brennan said the county reaches out to potential polling places based on geographic area. Churches are a popular spot, he said, because many meet the county's requirements. In addition to churches, the county is using 12 community centers, 9 schools, 5 fire stations, 2 city halls, 1 library, and 1 county building. Some larger polling places, including 13 churches and 2 schools, encompass 2 precincts. Quote, As the county continues to grow, we're looking for areas where we can have more than one precinct in a building, Brandon said. That means fewer people are required to run the election at the precinct. Brandon noted that Canyon County, where the population is about 38% bigger than Kootenai County, has just 17 polling places. That's interesting. About 80% are in churches. Only one is in a school. In Kootenai County, 23 of the 53 polling places are churches. They encompass 36 out of the 73 precincts. Coeur d'Alene City Councilman Dan Gookin said multiple voters have contacted him to express concerns about a particular polling place, Candlelight Christian Fellowship. Their concern is not about churches acting as polling places in general, Gookin said, but about Candlelight specifically. The church hosts political candidates and makes political material, such as leaflets and sample ballots, available to visitors. Quote, this is making some people uncomfortable, Gookin said. Ah, so this toes the line of the electioneering stuff.
Yes, yeah.
Coeur d'Alene resident Tyree Taylor said Candlelight Christian Fellowship is her polling place, but she doesn't plan to vote there. Instead, she said she'll vote by mail, just as she did last year, where her polling place has changed to the church. Though she voted at a church in the past, she said Candlelight is different. Quote, just don't feel comfortable in the environment, she said. They have sponsored events that have a political tone to them. At Candlelight on Monday, a stack of sample ballots featuring the Kootenai County Republican Central Committee's recommended candidates was placed at the front desk. Ooh, definitely mixing. That is the definition of mixing. Politics and religion.
Uh-huh.
Two of the three things you're not supposed to talk
not
about at the dinner table.
Supposed to.
beside the sample ballots was a stack of leaflets promoting Dr. Mark Mantafuel, who is running in the Republican primary for coroner. Quote, I am very uncomfortable when I see stuff like that, pushing not only one party, but a particular ideology within the party, Gookin said. Idaho's electioneering law makes it illegal to attempt to influence voting within 100 feet of a polling place. A law specifically forbids circulating, quote, cards or handbills of any kind. Candlelight staff said Monday that all political materials will be cleared away before Election Day. Paul Van Noy, the church's founding pastor, told the press on Monday that members of his church community sometimes ask if Candlelight offers a voter's guide. Quote, we do have them available typically, he said. The voter guide represents his recommendations as an individual, Van Noy said, not as the leader of the Candlelight, though he said he doesn't create the guide alone. At Candlelight, voting reportedly occurs in the church gym, which is accessible through a separate entrance in an effort to separate church activity from election activity. Even so, Gookin said he believes Candlelight is too politically active to fully separate itself on election day. Voters who frequent the area will likely remember what political signage or political events were hosted at the church, he said. Quote, it does raise concern for some people who, when you have a polling place that has an interest in the result, he said. Brandon emphasized that the county's goal is to make voting in person, as convenient and accessible as possible in a rapidly growing county. Quote, we're trying to keep the voters from having to drive too far, he said. First off, mm-hmm. after just reading through this, like mm-hmm. I've casted many a ballot in a church.
And understanding the requirements of what is needed of a polling place, mm-hmm. that makes a lot of sense.
And general in nature.
Would be a easy place.
Yeah.
And most churches do have a gym or kind of a reception hall that you could have yep. that take place.
Yep.
But I definitely understand the concern if there is a church that is handing out political ballots and,
yeah.
you know, I get it. Yeah, I understand. That's not necessarily an easy.
No, it can definitely be a concern in terms of like, okay, it's not like. I go there. I know who I'm voting for. Like, it's not
right.
Like, even if they're like fully in my face about it,
exactly.
Right. It's not like I'm the wow. This is a very obscure reference, but you'll appreciate it as a fellow thespian.
Uh-huh.
The crowd in the tragedy of Julius Caesar, where they're just easily swayed by some sort of driving speech, mm-hmm, and then they immediately mm-hmm, change their
and
mind.
They like change their mind, right?
It's that's not me saying that I'm not open to new ideas.
Sure,
that's just
no,
like going there. Like I would hope that when you go on election day, you've done the research and you mm-hmm, know who you're voting for, mm-hmm, and you're not making up your mind
up
30
you,
minutes in.
Or
yeah.
you seeing a political sign is
right,
going to sway
right.
your belief.
So there
right.
is that, but in the interest of electioneering and fairness, I understand that.
Definitely,
I definitely get that. Yes. If you don't want one side or the other being able to do that.
Right.
I get that.
True.
I understand.
All right. Gas prices soar. Ugh, this is by Devin Weeks. Two-wheeled vehicles might be the way to go these days, as far as gasoline is concerned. Essex Prescott of Coeur d'Alene and two friends fueled up their dirt bikes at the Nom Nom service station.
Nom Nom.
Nom Nom. At Best Avenue and 15th Street on Monday, where unleaded was $4.32 a gallon. Prescott's total topping off a 2.5 gallon tank was $4.64. Yeah, I think I just put some gas in my tank here in Osborne, and we were at like $4.67 about, I think. Yeah. Quote, you get a whole couple hours worth of smiles out of one of these, Prescott said. As regular vehicle drivers, the dirt bikers commiserate with those who are grimacing at high prices at the pumps. The average price of gas in Idaho is so high, it has set a record. According to a Monday news release from AAA Idaho, the Gem State has hit its highest average price for regular gas at $4.48 per gallon, about 4 cents more than a week ago, and 7 cents more than a month ago. It may reach $4.50 in the next few days.
Stop.
The national average currently sits at $4.33, which is 14 cents more than a week ago and 21 cents more than a month ago. Right now, Idaho ranks 13th in the country for most expensive fuel. Yeah, y'all, we're 13th. AAA reported the West Texas Intermediate benchmark for crude oil is trading near $105 a barrel after hitting $110 on Friday. Tight supplies and news that the European Union has proposed a ban on Russian oil imports within 6 months have put additional upward pressure on global crude prices, which comprise about half the price of finished gasoline.
That's understandable.
According to the Energy Information Administration, domestic crude stocks are about 14% lower than a year ago. While U.S. gasoline supplies are falling, demand slightly increased to just less than 9 million barrels per day. Well, yeah, I realized I needed gas in my tank because I came home from a little site trip I took up to a Pottsville park, and boy, I was bummed me out a little bit. I think it just bums you out. It's just like, wait, I just put like $15 in and only
it's, and it's
got,
something you have
like,
to have.
You have to have it.
Like you can't exactly. Not. You can't not.
Right.
How do you can't get, you can't, what am I going to do, walk everywhere?
That's not possible. I mean, right. Like, it's, I don't know.
I get a horse.
Get a horse.
Take it to the Old Town Road.
I'm gonna take my home. I hope we don't get copyright claimed for
probably
this. I've been doing a lot of singing.
Yeah, there's been a lot. All right, last story coming in, and this is the hot button.
Ooh,
one.
Hot button, baby.
Dueling events raise concern. This is by Devin Weeks.
Unless you're a fan of both guns and gays.
Well, there you go. Concerns from community members have been raised following Thursday's Pride and Patriots article about dueling events planned for June 11th in the Coeur d'Alene downtown parks. Local resident Sarah Andrews, whose son is involved in the North Idaho Pride Alliance, said she has seen comments online about how Gun d'Alene, an event planned by the Panhandle Patriots Riding Club, was scheduled on the same day as the Alliance's Pride in the Park event on purpose. Andrew said she contacted the city parks department because she didn't know why the city would allow two opposing groups to have events downtown the same day. Quote, I said, this could be a big problem. I don't think anyone realizes, she said. There's going to be a lot of vulnerable people in the park, parents with kids who want to have a fun day. People are concerned. Quote, continuing on, should I bring my kids? What if something happens? The Panhandle Patriots Riding Club is planning its second Gun d'Alene starting at noon at the Coeur d'Alene Public Library. The theme is Gun d'Alene, Protect Our Children. The Panhandle Patriots event will overlap with the North Idaho Pride Alliance's sixth Pride in the Park, an annual LGBTQA+.
Woo!
That's so many. So many. Diversity celebration in Coeur d'Alene City Park, which is scheduled to end at 4 p.m. Organizers have secured permits for each of the events. Quote, I only have the park's reservation, Coeur d'Alene City Clerk Renita McLeod said Monday in an email to the press. I have not received any special event, street closure, nor parade request for that day. Well
so
at least we're not getting a parade.
Oh, my gosh.
Look,
Chance would then be there, gun in hand.
These two events, like, that's... you know what? They can coincide with each other in my book, but I'm glad they're not throwing parades.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't need that nonsense.
I don't need a gay parade or a gun parade. I can't handle it. Don't ruin these things for me.
I don't want a gay parade or a gun parade.
No, I don't.
Absolutely.
Gay event? Great. Gun event? Perfect.
All right.
But just, a parade? You don't need to walk down the street about it, okay?
And what, throw candy at me? Absolutely not.
Get your steps in somewhere else.
Yeah.
A Vista Pavilion in McEwen Park has been reserved that day from 3 to 9 p.m. for a potluck with 100 people, according to the completed online reservation form acquired from the city through a public records request. This appears to be the Gundelane permit. The $200 fee for the reservation was billed to an individual in Athol, and the responsible party listed, also of Athol, has a Panhandle Patriots email address. The reservation was submitted to the city online and confirmed May 3rd. Parks Administrative Assistant Melissa Brandt confirmed North Idaho Pride Alliance made its reservations in January. An online facility use permit for the Rotary Bandshell and Picnic Shelter in City Park have been reserved by a representative of the North Idaho Pride Alliance. The Bandshell has been reserved from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m., and the fee of $400 was paid by invoice. The Picnic Shelter, which had no fee to reserve, was booked from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. The event is expected to draw 800 people, according to the reservation request. Andrew said the article published last week in the press, along with the concerning comments on social media, propelled her to contact law enforcement agencies. When contacted by the press, the Coeur d'Alene Police Chief Lee White would not comment on the situation. Quote, to ensure operational security, CDAPD will not be providing comment on our planning or response to the event scheduled on June 11th, he told the press via email. According to city code, quote, it shall be unlawful for any person to have his possession, or to have any vehicle, any weapon while participating in or attending a parade or public assembly. Exceptions are law enforcement officers and soldiers serving in the armed forces, reserves, officer training corps, cadets, and members of any U.S. military veterans organization that are national in scope, chartered by the United States Congress, and have a tradition of participating in parades and public assemblies.
Hmm.
Okay. I don't think my opinion's changed on this. I think that if there's two events that are going to go on next to each other, that's fine. But it needs to be civil, and I still don't understand how, like if this was an anti-gay group throwing a thing next to a pride event, I understand
just
because you like guns doesn't mean
no. That's very just.
It's a very strange. Like to me, like on that, the surface, yes. That's very strange.
However, it's the comments that they made.
Sure.
Remember,
oh, absolutely.
On the TikTok,
right.
You know, that you're right.
They're masquerading as a gun group when really it's more of like a hate thing.
It does seem
yeah.
like it's a hate thing.
Yeah.
And so that I do understand the concern.
Sure.
Like, they want to invite war. I mean, that's what they've said. They've said
they
want
that.
To.
Yeah.
Right. And
line
so,
in the sand or something like that.
And I understand that, again, that wasn't like a, what did they say, a spokesperson.
That wasn't their PI. Yeah.
Bear said.
Bear.
Bear, who yep. was a spokeswoman,
yep.
Said that. So if this is just a group that enjoys their guns and wants to just have this,
like I said,
Gundelane event.
I would love that
if
these two events were like bleeding together, and it was like a gun.
But from
thing
what
for...
I know about North Idaho, and from what I know about people that call themselves patriots,
yeah,
it doesn't appear that they just
that
want
be,
to be
yeah.
chill.
That's
like
true.
This does feel a bit.
Like
I don't want to say targeted, but
sure.
in a way,
see on the surface, like. Like
on
this,
the
is
surface,
this is a libertarian's dream of like
right on the surface, Chance would go to both of these events
right,
and have a great time.
Right, absolutely. Like I being able people celebrating being able to do whatever they want. That's
mm-hmm,
great. I love
mm-hmm.
it. I love it.
Right.
Be gay and have your guns. That
be
is
gay. Have your guns.
That should be a, every libertarian's.
Right.
Motto.
What is that thing? It's like I want a gay couple to be able to grow their weed. And have guns.
Defend it with guns.
And defend it with guns.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Right. It's like, okay, sure. Yeah.
But yeah. Right. I can wrap my head around that sort of. So yeah.
So
it's unfortunate to me that like a like, to me on the surface, you know, it sounds, if you don't know about this group, it sounds like it's, you know, it's like a gun show kind of thing, you know, where you're going to have vendors and whatnot. And I've been to a billion gun shows.
Sure. Right.
And they were, they've always been, everybody's friendly.
Right.
And it's everybody, you know, when you go to these kind of things where everybody's there for a shared interest, everybody's friendly and happy, and it's never a bad thing. And that's what I would hope that this is going to be. Unfortunately, it doesn't sound like that's what the group is.
And protect our children. You even made a little sound there that was like,
so this is obviously calling in the sense, definitely since they're starting at the library, this is obviously a shot
calling
at
the
library
the
saga.
Library,
yeah.
Which does have to do with LGBTQA plus.
Right. That's been at the forefront of
and
it.
And so it is. It's like, okay. Yeah. Yeah. I understand the concerns of, but also I'd love to think that
if that group wants to protest it, that's also their right.
Sure. Sure. Oh yeah.
Not saying I agree with them, but
I would love to think that there would be some way that they could all, you know,
get along.
Just want everyone to get
just
along.
Just want everybody
guys,
to get along.
You guys, the gays and the guns, get along.
The gays and the guns.
Gosh. And then have a parade, but don't really.
But no, no, but really don't do
don't
that.
Have a parade.
No, but really don't do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you care about your lifestyle and property rights, vote for Don Wixton, Shoshone County Commissioner for District 2, the North Fork District, and beyond. That's Don W., the real candidate in Kingston, District 2. This ad was paid for by the committee to elect Don Wixton for Shoshone County District 2 Commissioner. Right, moves in two.
Okie dokie, I went... Sorry.
News press headlines.
I was ready.
For Tuesday, May 10th. All right, now Molly.
I went to a little career fair.
You went to a career fair?
Yeah. I went to a career fair and watched a taser demonstration.
Did you figure out what you want to do when you grow up?
I did. I think I finally figured it out.
Okay.
I did get a couple job offers, so, you know, they tried to steal me, but I...
Back off.
I haven't left
Everybody
yet.
Needs to back off. Unless you're giving her a hug.
Unless you're giving me a hug. I'm going to find a group of people today to just give me a big hug. The U.S. Bureau, the career fair at Wallace Junior Senior High School gives local students options. The U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics recently announced that the number of job openings was at a seasonal high of 11.5 million on the last business day of March. This has caused an influx of local businesses and schools to join forces and creatively collaborate to find a solution. Because of the increase in job openings, not only nationally, but also in Shoshone County, local businesses and Wallace Junior Senior High School principal Don Almquist worked together to show what local businesses have to offer. This is the second year that students filled the Kirby Krulitz Court, speaking with representatives from hospitality and culinary to recreational jobs and more. Recruiters from the United States Army, as well as Shoshone County Fire Protection District No. 1 and Shoshone County Sheriff's Office, were among the more popular hiring entities due to their interactive recruiting methods. One particularly entertaining demonstration had SCSO Captain Jeff Lee wowing the crowd of high school students with a taser demonstration. Quote, "Does anyone know how long a taser runs for when you pull the trigger?" asked Lee to the crowd of students. 5 seconds, came from the crowd. Quote, "Now how did you know that? Maybe you should be doing this demonstration," Lee joked back. Teenagers looking for something more in the realm of hospitality could speak with representatives from the Wallace Inn and the Ryan Hotel, both located in Wallace. For those interested in culinary positions, Blackboard Cafe in Wallace and Miranda Tiluan from Stone Ground Alchemy, located inside the Bean in Kellogg, are looking for teens interested in helping out during the summer.
Jeff, on there, Molly?
I did, actually.
That's
I had
good.
A lot of fun there. I
That's
did.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
I would have definitely been enthralled with Captain Jeff Lee.
Captain Jeff Lee's taser. It was
taser demonstration.
And there were many kids who
How many high
wanted...
schoolers did he taser?
He did not taser. There was one student next to me.
Was very
she
adamant.
Wanted to be tased. She was like, I kind of had to tell her, "Hey, girl."
I mean. Technically, right. depending on what she, how serious she was, she could have gotten tased.
Exactly, right. Like, well, if you,
you know, if you want to take this
really
to an extreme,
want
yeah.
to, I guess.
While I've never been tased before, I have I've tried out the bean bag.
Okay.
From a shotgun?
Sure.
Yeah, that hurts.
Yeah, I bet.
It's not, oof. It's not great.
No.
Moving on. Passing the torch at Fire District Number 1. I wrote this one myself.
Mm-hmm.
Under the leadership of Aaron Cagle, Shoshone County Fire District Number 1 has come quite a ways. On the surface, it would appear that his biggest accomplishment was moving the district from the cramped quarters inside Osborne City Hall to a new state-of-the-art facility just down the road. But Cagle himself would disagree with that assessment. Officially retiring as fire chief in October of 2021 after 6 years in the position, Cagle believes the best thing he did during his tenure was putting together a great group. Quote, picking the right people to surround myself with for sure, he said. We had a good team. Absolutely. The only way that I picked people was the only way I knew how. The gut feeling of if they were a good person or not. Cagle's replacement, Chief John Miller, formerly captain, who was sworn in on April 12, 2022, cited this team as his predecessor and mentor put together as a primary factor for him to step up into the role. Quote, what made considering this role much easier was the team that was assembled, he said. Miller had served as interim chief after Cagle stepped down last year, and during that time he was able to get a sense of the job and work with the same team, just in a new role. Cagle took over the position in October of 2015 when former chief Jim Walker retired after 10 years. While the actual move happened under his tenure, Cagle gives much of the credit for the new firehouse, which opened in 2019 and was approved by the voters in 2017, to Walker, who did much of the legwork. As for why Cagle chose the time he did to step down, he explained that while he enjoyed the parts of the job that where he got to help people, the uglier side of the profession was beginning to take its toll. Cagle added that he could have also done without a lot of the political burdens that came with the chief's position too. Narrowing down the one main thing that he wishes he would have been able to accomplish during his time as chief, Cagle pointed to the consolidation of the separate Silver Valley fire districts. Quote, obviously, the big glaring one in my mind is from the very first day I started working here, I realized the ridiculousness of working as separate fire districts in a small county with no population. By far, I wanted to fix that. Currently, Shoshone County is separated into three different fire districts, not including various volunteer departments and state and federal jurisdictions, each with their own chief, commissioners, procedures, and budgets. Miller, who joined the fire service in 2011 and then with Shoshone County Fire District Number 1 in March of 2016, plans to continue to carry the ball on numerous projects that Cagle had in the process, such as wildland firefighting training for the crew and pushing the issue of district consolidation. Quote, we'd like to. I think it betters the community and betters the responders, he said. Miller explained that he first joined the fire service following a tragedy that struck home for him. Quote, I was driving with my mother and sister who came to visit me in Colorado, and we were struck by a vehicle and I lost my mother on scene. It was the first responders from a fully volunteer department that I saw put in the effort and work and helped me, so I thought I had a debt to repay. During his time as captain, Miller was instrumental in numerous community outreach efforts, such as the implementation of Jacob's kits at local schools, making them the first in the region to have such kits in the classrooms in case of emergencies. Jacob's kits are minimalist, life-saving trauma kits that contain a tourniquet, trauma dressing, gauze, gloves, and instructions. Seeing Miller in the new role, Cagle is excited to see him take up the reins and believes the district is in good hands. Quote, I'm excited to see Miller in the role. I can't think of a better person with more heart than he's going to put into it. There may be more people with more training or experience, but I don't think there's anyone with more heart. I know these two individuals quite well.
Mm-hmm.
I would go as far as to say that they are friends of mine.
Mm-hmm.
Two of the best salt of the earth people that you can meet. Both very qualified mm-hmm. for the job that they did.
Yeah.
They're good people
good
and
course.
Fire district is in good hands.
Mm-hmm.
Watts Appliance has been providing incomparable customer service to the Silver Valley for over 50 years. The family owned and operating business has a wealth of knowledge regarding appliances and the brands they sell. Whether you're in need of a new washing machine or have questions about refrigerators, Watts Appliance is ready to help. Visit wattsappliance.com or stop by and visit at 3 North Division Street in Pinehurst. That takes us north to the Bonner Kelly Daily Bee out of Sandpoint. Headlines, Saturday, May 7th.
All right, if you guys like hearing about new fire chiefs, you are in for a treat.
Back-to-back fire chiefs.
New fire chief has big plans for Clark Fork. This is by Bo White Eagle. Clark Fork's new fire chief, Mike Schacht.
Shocked.
Mike Schacht is planning to do a considerable amount of community outreach with the department starting this summer. Schacht, who has been with the Clark Fork Fire Department since his family moved to the area in 2016, was appointed to the position in February. After spending some time getting familiar with his new position, Schacht went to the Clark Fork City Council in April to lay out his plans and ensure the support of the community and council. Of the many plans mentioned, Schacht said his main priorities for the summer are firefighter training and volunteer recruitment. Due to the high stress of being a volunteer firefighter, Schacht said that the department has seen high turnover. For this reason, he would like to form three-person engine crews, hoping to attract more volunteers with less on time and allow existing volunteers more personal and recovery time. The new training structure will feature two training tracks, one for new volunteers with no experience to learn the basics, and the other for more advanced training that will target search and rescue situations and hazardous material emergencies. With the department getting new volunteers on an infrequent basis, breaking the training up will allow those who are returning, or simply who have previous training, to further their emergency service knowledge while ensuring the department has well-rounded volunteers, even for situations that may never arise. With the help of his wife, Dr. Heather Margaret, Schacht also plans to do some community outreach geared towards fitness and nutrition. Dr. Margaret has an extensive background in family and lifestyle medicine, even going to work at Homestead Health Direct Primary Care in Clark Fork, and has been very active in developing a community health program. Working regularly with Nancy Jenkins and other public health officials in the community, Margaret has organized a health fair, does a regular walk with a doc program, and has arranged for the local hardware store to have the best produce around. Schacht also detailed how he would like to work with other emergency service departments such as the U.S. Forest Service and Bonner County Sheriff's Office to not only build up those relationships, but also more community outreach aimed towards education about reacting to emergencies. Anyone looking to become a volunteer firefighter may attend the training held by the Clark Fork Fire Department every Tuesday at 6 p.m., or by contacting anyone already in the department. Experience is not necessary, but welcome.
All right. Well, welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show.
Home of the lowest prices on all things outdoor since 1975, Black Sheep Sporting Goods is your one-stop shop for all your camping, fishing, hunting, and clothing needs. Open Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. and Sundays from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Check out Black Sheep's new location in the Silver Lake Mall. Be sure to also check out www.blacksheepidaho.com and receive free shipping on orders over $100. Black Sheep Sporting Goods, celebrating 45 years as your favorite sporting goods store. And don't freak out when you see them going into the old building.
That is
all part of the plan.
All part of the plan.
Moving on, Sunday, May 8th headlines. Water claims filed. Process continues. This by Anissa Keith. Hundreds of citizens around the region are one step closer to securing their legal water rights. Boy, I was really stressing about it. More than 200 people living in the Clark Fork Pend Oreille Water Basin met with officials from the Idaho Department of Water Resources for help in filing for their water rights. The adjudication.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there we go. Process for the basin got the judicial green light on June 15th, 2021, beginning the process of documenting various claims of water users. The department is still in the early stages of the adjudication process, with mailings of notice still being sent to thousands of addresses in Bonner and Boundary counties. This week, IDWR held a three-day workshop in Pend Oreille to help in the filing process. According to IDWR officials, domestic and stock water rights were among the most common rights filed at the workshop. Also known as de minimis water rights. Did I say that right?
I think so.
De minimis? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Water rights. Citizens who are using water for at-home consumption pay $25 to file. This type of water right can also be filed later in the adjudication process. However, it's cheaper to file claims sooner than later. IDWR has records for about 2,700 water rights on file in the Clark Fork Pend Oreille Water Basin. It is expected that up to 9,000 water right claims will be filed in the basin. Resources are available to those who want help or information about filing their water rights, which can be filed online. Claim applications and other resources can be found on the department's website at idwr.idaho.gov/water rights. Help can also be found in person at IDWR's Northern Region office at 7600 Mineral Drive, Suite 100 in Coeur d'Alene. The office can be reached by phone at 208-762-2800. Get those water rights, folks.
Get those water rights.
I need rights to water.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, moving on to Tuesday. Sandpoint supports Marcy's Law. This is by Beau White Eagle. Sandpoint officials are showing support for Idaho's adoption of Marcy's Law, with Mayor Shelby Ronstadt reading a proclamation in support of the measure at last week's council meeting. Marcy's Law is a constitutional amendment that ensures crime victims and the families of crime victims receive specific rights, including the right to be notified of when the accused is released or escapes, to be notified and be able to be present in public hearings, and protection from the accused and anyone connected to that individual. Before 2008, the U.S. Constitution and 15 state constitutions had more than 20 individual rights for those accused, with none for the families of murder victims and few protections and rights for victims. Marcy's Law ensures victims and their families are protected, aware of what's going on in the case, and heard by giving rights equal to those who are accused. The reformation of state constitutions comes from the efforts of Dr. Henry Nicholas, the brother of a crime victim, Marcia Lee, Marcy Nicholas, who was murdered by an ex-boyfriend in 1983. Her friends and family describe Marcy Nicholas as a beautiful and vibrant young woman who loved animals and art, winning multiple arts and equestrian awards throughout her life. During her senior year on November 30th, 1983, Marcelle Nicholas, 21, was stalked and murdered by her ex-boyfriend, Carrie Michael Conley, 28. 1 week after her death and minutes after her funeral service, Marcy's mother, Marcella Leach, ran into Connolly at the local market, unaware that he had been released on bail just days after the murder. This was due to the fact that at the time, courts and law enforcement had no obligation to do so. The incident caused the family to push for change so that no other family would have a similar experience. Nicholas then went on to lend his efforts to the national campaign for all states to enact Marcy's Law, aptly named Marcy's Law for All. Since the campaign's start in 2009, over 35 states have enacted Marcy's Law or an amendment to their state's victims' rights constitution, like Idaho. Mm-hmm. The proclamation, read by Ronstadt, detailed the 2020 crime report stating that more than 17,000 crimes were reported to law enforcement, and of those, more than 4,000 were violent crimes, including rape, murder, and assault. Quote, I encourage our community to join in the commitment to protect the rights of Idaho crime victims, Ronstadt said.
Those reported crimes, those are just the ones that reported.
Exactly, mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Unfortunate. Well, that's good. Glad to hear their support for it. It sounds like a good cause.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on, area man arrested on trafficking charges by Anissa Keith. A man found with nearly a pound and a half of methamphetamine in Old Town is in Bonner County Jail on a trafficking charge. Michael David Stone, 45, is being held on a $500,000 bail awaiting preliminary hearings on March 18th. On Wednesday, Stone was pulled over by Idaho State Police Trooper Jonathan Cushman for having no rear license plate on the tow trailer for having too dark a window tinting on his vehicle.
Hmm.
Okay. If I never have in my life I've carried around any sort of meth at all, but if I were going to.
Right.
I would make sure that I had a license plate on everything.
Yeah.
And it was up to date.
That it was that my windows weren't too dark. And they weren't. And they weren't too dark.
I'd probably just roll the windows down.
But true.
You know.
But sometimes meth kind of, I think, affects.
Yeah, you're not getting the smartest criminals in the world. I guess that makes sense. Yeah. Shortly after the stop, U.S. Border Patrol agent Seth Sedano arrived on scene to provide backup and deployed his canine unit to search for narcotics. Upon positive signal by the canine unit, Stone and a passenger were asked to step out of the 2021 GMC Sierra pickup truck. While law enforcement carried out a search, a glass pipe fell to the ground when the two men got out of the truck. Officers discovered a large baggie containing 665 grams of crystal methamphetamine, approximately 1.4 pounds. Stone admitted that the narcotics belonged to him and that he had recently purchased them in the Tri-Cities, Washington area.
Oh, good. Now we know where to get our where to go buy our meth.
Not to be mean about it, but I mean, that's not shocking. Sorry, Tri-Cities listeners. I've spent a fair amount of time in your three cities, so you can't say that this is not from experience. In addition to trafficking charge, Stone was also booked on paraphernalia and persistent violation charges. This is Stone's only court case in the state of Idaho, according to the state's iCourt database. Idaho law indicates a mandatory minimum sentence of 15 years incarceration and a $25,000 fine due to the amount of meth found.
Well...
It's a lot of meth.
That's a lot of meth.
That's
That's a lot. 65 grams.
You said that, and I immediately, I don't know why, I pictured like pulling the string on the back of Woody in like Toy Story. That's a lot of meth.
There's a snake in my boot.
There's some meth in my boot.
That's 665 grams of meth.
Reach for the sky. Both hands.
Oh my gosh.
Oh boy. Okay, well, once again, we'd like to thank Bank CDA for sponsoring this episode. What is your relationship status with your bank? It's time to go stay with Bank CDA. You want local, you want flexible, you want Bank CDA. To learn more, please visit bankcda.com. We also want to thank Jim Addis for District 4 State Representative for sponsoring this episode. To continue his efforts as the District 4 Rep, vote for Jim Addis on May 17th. That ad was paid for by the committee to reelect Jim Addis. Molly.
That's it.
We're done for the day.
Thanks, you guys. Thanks for listening to the entire cold open and all of the news.
And just listen to us wing it.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
We appreciate it. Thank you. It's really nice. Really generous of you. Yeah. Thanks again for listening in. We really appreciate it. Please like, comment, and share all of our stuff on social media. If you're interested in the stories we talked about today or the ones we did not, check us out at www.ShoshoneNewsPress.com, CoeurDaleinePress.com, BonnerCountyDailyBee.com, or the BonnersFerryHerald.com. If you listen to us on a podcatcher, please subscribe and or like and or follow us so you can get every episode as soon as it comes out, or at least when it uploads, when we put it up on our end. And check us out on the North Idaho Now Facebook page and give us a like and follow on there so you can see all the fun stuff we post. All right, everybody. Thanks again. We'll see you on Friday.